Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
Well, hey, how are you all doing? Good to see you all. So it's good to have you all here. We're talking about Into the Woods. But before I jump into it, I'm Greg Meyer, by the way, in case you don't know. So I'm going to be sharing the message with you today. But before I jump into the message and into this movie from Godflix, I just want a couple of things. First of all, if you've been here the last 3 weeks and you're here with Melissa when she did The Imitation Game and then Mike doing Selma and Nick doing The Book of Life, I mean, how many churches have other people like that who can do that amazing of a job? I think it's fantastic. The downside is my job security. I really did try to make a mess up, and that just shows how good they are. This summer has been amazing. And then I don't know how much on your radar it's been, but we had this team of high school kids go to Brooklyn and do pop-up day camp in the park, like not knowing if anyone would be there or not. I mean, talk about putting it on the line. And the stories we got back from people who saw them and what they're doing and their leadership and their teamwork and their, like, attention to the kids and focus on the kids was amazing. I mean, you know, they had 35 kids pretty much every day. That was just neat. I mean, what a great learning experience for them, too. And then by the way, they have a 5-year rotation of summer trips that give them different geographical, cultural, whatever experiences around this country, all the way 8th grade through 12th grade. And so it's kind of a neat thing for them and for you younger kids, for you to anticipate. It's neat stuff. Then we have our partnership with Voyagers Lutheran Ministries that a lot of you have heard about that's really been getting a lot of momentum recently. And we've got 3 interns that you're going to be meeting. One is Willie, who's here. There you are, Willie. Is going to be... You'll be seeing a lot more of him. He's going to be interning with us this summer. You'll hear more about it right now. But there's also Hannah's also here, and Emily, who's not here yet. They're just getting school going and getting their feet on the ground. But we've got some other Voyagers folks, so we're just excited about that. And then you guys are so fantastic. You're here. I mean, no, seriously, like, you are here because you need a church that's maybe dishing up God a little bit differently than you feel God gets dished up most other places. Or you're looking for a community that's really dealing with some of the real stuff of life and are looking for people that are allowing you to be who you are, not who you're not. Or maybe you're here by mistake, and that's okay. You know, you're here, so we'll work with that too. You're also the kind of people that are willing to take a movie like this today and this whole series on Godflix, which are not movies that are religion in disguise. I mean, they're just movies where some people, actors, screenwriters, musicians, whatever, put their hearts on the line and said, this is what we think life is really all about. And we believe that we don't have to, like, put a big religious veneer over it, but we say, no, God is speaking through this, and we can listen deeply and learn and grow and, you know, and reflect on it with our own spiritual take on it. And I think that's really, really important. I really do think with this movie, Into the Woods, whether you've seen it or not, it looked like not a whole lot of people, which is kind of true how it was. It got lots of awards, but wasn't real, real popular out in the theaters. I think you're probably going to be tempted to go home and see it after this. I hope so. But I think you're going to realize after we get done talking about it that truly God was working through all of the people, probably even the second assistant key grip. I mean, that's how deep this movie goes into the content and what it's trying to talk about. So it's good stuff. If you haven't seen this movie, don't worry. I'll explain enough that you know what's going on, I think, and not so much that I could spoil it, but I don't think you could spoil this one anyway. Seeing it unveiled is what it's all about. And you can pick it up at Redbox. It's there. So the story behind Into the Woods is that it was originally a Stephen Sondheim musical that played Broadway and in London and all over the place for a long time, and Disney turned it into a movie just recently. And what it is Sondheim took 4 fairy tales, Rapunzel, Little Red Riding Hood, Jack and the Beanstalk, and what one am I missing? Cinderella, thank you. And then put an original tale, which really fits the Grimm brothers as well, about the baker and his wife who are childless, and takes them to weaves them together to make a brand new story which says so much about life. And really where why it tries to take us with this movie is exactly what the title says. It takes us into the woods. Let's see this.
Into the woods, it's time to go. It may be all in vain, you know.
Into the woods, but even so, I have to take the journey.
Into the woods, the path is straight, you know it well.
But who can tell?
Into the woods to lift the spell.
Into the woods to visit mother.
Into the woods to sell the cow.
To get the money.
To go to the festival.
Into the woods to grandmother's house.
Into the woods to grandmother's house.
The way is clear, the light is good. I have no fear, nor no one should. The woods are just trees, the trees are just wood. No need to be afraid,
there's something in the glade there.
Into the woods without delay, but careful not to lose the way. Into the woods, who knows what may be lurking on the journey. Into the woods to get the thing that makes it worth the journey in.
Into the woods to see the king,
to sell the cow,
to make the potion,
to see, to sell, to get, to bring, to make, to live, to go to the festival.
Into the woods,
yes, to bring, to
into
to
the woods.
But the truth is, and we all know it, you never get home before dark. You don't go in the woods to get home before dark. You just think you do. You go to the woods, why? You go to the woods to be changed. And that's what happens. So folks, we are in the change business. You are in the change business, even though we don't like change a lot of times. I mean, we don't want to stay who we are forever. Things need to change, and that means some things are hard. That is what happens in the woods. So the woods, obviously, are a metaphor, right? They're a metaphor for not a place, but a time, a season in life. When things are topsy-turvy, when what was is no longer what is, and you're not sure what's going to happen, you don't know who you're going to meet, you're not sure what's going to happen, but something will happen. Sometimes we choose to go into the woods, sometimes we just end up in the woods. But it is what happens. It happens when you discover that lump in your breast and you're trying to decide whether to go see a doctor about it or not. It happens when that new neighbor moves in across the street or that new friend shows up at school. It happens when you take a new job or you leave an old one, when you start high school or finish high school or start college or finish college, when you get married, when you get divorced, when you have kids, when you can't have kids. Regardless, going into the woods is never a walk in the park. Going into the woods is something that happens on its own schedule. It's something that happens and you don't know who you're going to meet or what will be going on during it. You go into the woods, like I said, or you end up there in order to be changed. You can pull out your outlines. That's on there if you want to follow along with those. And when you change, what you find in this movie, and I think when we reflect on this purposely, that change is about two things. One is the change of who we are, and the other one change is about what we're about. I mean, you can sum it up saying the change is about your identity and it's about your purpose. Sometimes in big ways and sometimes in small ways. But we go into the woods thinking usually that we're this and we're about that, and we come out finding that it is all turned upside down. The funny thing is that sometimes by the time we come out of the woods, we don't realize that it all turned that way because we were changed so much that even our expectations, our memories of why we ever came into the woods have changed along with them. But we are changed. The Bible talks about this all the time. In fact, I would say this is probably not only the main theme of that movie, it's probably the main theme of the Bible. The Bible calls the woods the wilderness. The wilderness. It's such a common theme. So many characters in the Bible go through the wilderness. Let me just run through a few of the really notable ones. First of all, there's this guy named Moses, beginning of the Bible, okay? Moses, chapters 3 and 4 of Exodus. He is a Hebrew person, a Hebrew baby, that is raised in when the Hebrews were slaves in Egypt, okay? And he's raised by the Pharaoh and his family, the Egyptian royalty, and long backstory behind all that. And so he grows up with his dual identity, being in privilege, but knowing that his own people are the oppressed people of their land. And as he gets older, the discrepancy between these two things becomes a bigger and bigger thing, hauling him into the wilderness. Until it gets to the point when he's old enough that he can't deal with it anymore, that he strikes out, he kills an Egyptian, and he has to run for his life physically into the wilderness. He tries to make a home there. He meets a man named Jethro. He marries his daughter Zipporah. He begins to have children. But the wilderness, we may be there for a long time, but we aren't meant to set up camp and to live there forever. And sooner or later, he finds out that isn't what he belongs, and it is his people that God, he meets God in the wilderness, and God says, I need you to go back. I need you now to just realize who you really are and what you really need to do. And he goes back to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. So the next people that I would mention as wilderness stories in the Bible are those people of Israel. Follow Moses' story. Jump up to about chapter 13, chapter 14 to start reading when you go home today. But the people of Israel are there. They are enslaved in Egypt. Moses frees them so they can go out into the wilderness. They're headed to the promised land, but they have to go through the wilderness to get there. In fact, how long do they spend there? 40 years. Now, that's a metaphorical number. We don't know how long it was or exactly what that all looks like, but as the Bible tells it, that number 40 is really important, right? Four in Hebrew thinking is a number, is the cardinal directions of the earth, north, south, east, west. So it means like all of the world. And you multiply like that times 10, you have the number 40. So when you read 40 in the Bible, it just means like forever, all right? I mean, or better put, as long as it takes. How long was Israel in the wilderness? As long as it took to make them the people they were to be, which was to become the people who could make the best bagels on this planet. Sorry, that's the Simpsons version. I keep getting those mixed up. No, it meant for them to become the people who could wrestle with God. That's what Israel means, those who wrestle with God. They could be the ones who wrestle with God and could show that God, that relationship with God, to other people. That's what it took for them. Being in the wilderness wasn't real fun for them. As soon as the stories about them being in the wilderness, and they're so thankful for Moses leading them out, I mean, immediately, the Bible uses this word over and over again and says that the people of Israel murmured. I love that. It's probably like the only time I've used the word murmur. But over and over, in fact, there are sentences in those like chapters 14, 15, 16, 17 where the word murmur comes up like up to 5 times per sentence. They're murmuring so much. And you can imagine Moses trying to lead them with them murmuring all the time. Just everybody, like, just say murmur, murmur, murmur once. Yeah. It'd be really fun to lead you, like, when that's going on the whole time. It's grumbling. They were grumbling because it's not fun in the wilderness. It's tough. But they did it. Anyway, jump up to the New Testament. John the Baptist. Jesus, like cousin, second cousin, twice removed, or however it works. But John is this bizarre character who wears camel skin with a leather strap, and that says he not only goes to the wilderness, he lives in the wilderness, eating locusts and wild honey. We won't bother with that. And his job is to call people into the wilderness. Come into the wilderness, see John, get baptized, i.e. get changed. And then go back to your world and see who you are. Even Jesus comes to him. And so Jesus comes into the wilderness to see John, is baptized by John. And what does Jesus do? He immediately goes into the wilderness. Matthew chapter 3, Matthew chapter 4. He goes into the wilderness. It says, driven by the Spirit, driving him into the wilderness. He spends 40 days in the wilderness. There's that number again. Was it literally 40 days without eating or drinking? The point is, it was as long as it took for him to figure out who he was and what he was about. And he comes out of the wilderness and begins his ministry. Think of this as a big deal. I mean, Jesus was 30 years old, as far as we can kind of figure out from the narrative when he started that. That is really old. I mean, in those days, you only lived to be 40, 45 years old. This is like, you know, a 50-year-old guy still living in his parents' basement. And he got dragged into the wilderness to figure something out, and to become who he was supposed to be and to do what he was supposed to do. The wilderness does that to us. The wilderness is called to do that. On the top of your outline, if you look that over on the right, there's a box, and it says, what wilderness, and then there's some questions. What wilderness have you been through? Or wildernesses. You've been through a lot. I don't care how old you are. Big ones, small ones. What wildernesses have you been through? What wilderness are you in right now? What wildernesses do you see ahead of yourself? What wildernesses have you been avoiding? I think those are healthy questions for us. I'd invite you to have that be your homework this week. There's some question on the very, very bottom where our homework thing usually is. It says, think about those questions. Write them down. I mean, name them. That's an important step. And then think about what do you expect to have happen there? It'll be something different than what you think, but it's good to know what you expect when you go in. And then what are your resources for making it through the wilderness? I think that's also an important thing to be thinking about. So spend some time doing that. Now, there's always something romantic about heading off into the woods. You know, it represents new and exciting and full of promise, all that kind of stuff. And in fact, one of the main themes about the woods in this movie is what is pulling everybody in and their expectations, their wishes, their hopes. And you saw how happy they were going in, but it doesn't necessarily stay that way. Remember, this is just a tiny clip. Go ahead, shoot it from the clip we saw a second ago.
The way is clear, the light is good. I have no fear, nor no one should. The woods are just trees, the trees are just wood. No need to be afraid there.
There's something in the glade there.
Yeah. The woods are just trees, the trees are just wood, nothing to be afraid of. Yeah, probably not true. So this is basic. The wilderness is essential to growth. You will not grow without going through the wilderness many times in your life. But the wilderness is dangerous. Not everyone who goes in comes out. And that's both figuratively and literally true. Things happen in the woods. Not everything is pretty. The wilderness is also hard. You will be tested. Sometimes you will be tested just to survive in your dealing with your illness, with that relationship, with your money, with the crisis, with the baggage, with whatever it might happen to be. Sometimes you will discover that only the greatest prizes of the wilderness will come to about yourself and your purpose is when you take on that hard work. And face it, trying to make the wilderness easy is sort of like, what, counterproductive, isn't it? The easier you try to make it, the longer you're going to spend there. The woods are also inconvenient. The woods have no timetable. You cannot guarantee when they will start or when they will finish. It happens on its own time. Remember the number 40 from the Bible. The last thing, the woods are also out of your control. If they were in your control, would they be wilderness? No, okay? So forget control in the wilderness. Look for what you do have. Look for what's with you. So what do your wildernesses, your wood places feel like to you? If they aren't scary on one level or another, you're either not in them or you're so good at denial that you're able to pretend you're not. And I think we probably all spent a fair amount of time playing that game. One of the big points of the movie is about this, precisely, about what we do and how we feel about the woods and what's going to do. What is our reaction going to be to them? So here's the one reaction. This is Cinderella's reaction.
For the indecisive Cinderella, she fled from the prince. Again.
Him. He spread pitch on the stairs
and I'm caught unawares. Well, it means that he cares. This is more than just malice. Better stop and take stock while you're standing here stuck on the steps of the palace. All right, what do you want? Have to make a decision. Why not stay and be caught? Should I give that a thought? What would be his response? But then what if he knew who I am when I know that I'm not what he thinks that he wants? Or then what if I am what a prince would envision? But then how can you know who you are till you know what you want, which I don't? So then which do you pick? Where you're safe, out of sight, and yourself, but where everything's wrong? Or where everything's right, but you know that you'll never belong? And whichever you pick, do it quick, cause you're starting to stick to the steps of the palace. It's my first big decision. The choice isn't easy to make. To arrive at a ball is exciting and all. Once you're there, though, it's scary. And it's fun to deceive when you know you can leave, but you have to be wary. There's a lot that's at stake, but I've stalled long enough, cause I'm still standing stuck in the stuff on these steps. Better run along home and avoid the collision. Though at home they don't care, I'll be better off there, where there's nothing to choose, so there's nothing to lose. So I'll pry up my shoes. Wait, no thinking it through. Things don't have to collide. I know what my decision is, which is not to decide. I'll just leave him a clue. For example, a shoe. And then see what he'll do. Now it's he and not you who'll be stuck with a shoe in a stew, in the goo. And I've learned something too, something I never knew.
Little did Cinderella realize that her wilderness was a palace. So Cinderella tale's a little different. Rather, it happens over three nights. She runs away, every one of three nights, and not a glass slipper, but as pure as gold slipper. And she runs away every night, not because the clock is going to strike and everything's going to turn back to pumpkins and mice, but because she can't decide whether she wants this or not. And she's flirting back and forth and she can't make a decision. One of the dangers that fear brings to us in the wilderness is that we can no longer decide. And she could not decide what to do. And her lack of decision did not mean that she wouldn't have to decide. It just meant she needed to spend more time in the wilderness. And sooner or later, she was going to be. Indecision is not the purpose of the wilderness. Indecision is a risk that we run while we're in the wilderness. It's not what God wants us to do. Rather than indecision being our reaction to our fear, God calls us to decision, to make decisions, to claim things, to do things. We may not know exactly what we're supposed to do. We may not know what the right answer is. We know we will make mistakes. We can make mistakes. But we have to decide things. Not rash decisions, not uninformed decisions, and we can't rush the wilderness. But at some point, we have to decide what we're going to do and who we're going to be. We can make mistakes. I think of Jesus, and you've heard me talk about this before, but it should be the pinnacle of his career and his disciples' career when Jesus, as Matthew tells the story, as he dies, he rises again. He gathers all of his disciples with him, and this is the ascension, he's going to ascend up to heaven, and his last words to his disciples, and they're written on your Sunday paper, it says, now the 11 disciples, they went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, which is part of the wilderness, by the way, and when they saw him, when they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but then these three words are so key, but some doubted. Some were still in the wilderness. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus said, those of you who know that I'm the Son of God over here, and those of you who are doubting, you over there. No, he didn't do that. He said the same thing to all of them. He said, I want you to go, and I want you to do stuff. All right? I need you to choose. I need just be with me. Be on this with me. That's a big thing. So instead of indecision, let us lead towards decisions and find a way through the wilderness. There's another game we play that this movie deals with a lot, and I think the Bible also tries to help us out figuring out. And that is another place that we get driven because of our fear, and that is to blame. Anybody ever hear any blaming or fault-finding going on at home or school or work or anything like that? Chances are. You know, it is so much easier dealing with a situation by blaming someone for having caused it than to actually take it on and do something about it. After all, if it's your fault, then it's your responsibility that this happened and you have to make the wilderness go away for me, but you can't. And so we just play the blame game and we just stay stuck in the wilderness. Here, the baker, Jack, the witch, Little Red Riding Hood, and Cinderella are all under the pressure. This is late in the movie that the wilderness has brought them under, and they're kind of beginning to crack under all this pressure, and just watch this little sequence.
Yes, he's the one to blame. It's because of you there's a giant in our midst, and my wife is dead.
But if this is my fault, I was given those beans, you persuaded me to trade away my cow for beans, and without those beans, there'd have been no stock to get up to the giants in the first place.
Wait a minute, magic beans for a cow so old that you had to tell a lie to sell it, which you told. Were they worthless beans? Were they oversold? Oh, and tell us, who persuaded you to steal that gold?
See, it's your fault.
No.
Yes, it's your fault.
No.
Yes, it is.
It's not.
It's true.
Wait a minute, though, I nearly stole the gold to get my cow back from you.
So it's your fault, yes.
No, it isn't. I'd have kept those beans, but our house was curse. She made us get a cow to get the curse reversed.
It's his father's fault that the curse got placed and the place got cursed in the first place.
Oh, then it's his fault.
So, it was his fault.
No.
Yes, it is. It's his.
I guess.
Wait a minute.
Okay, that goes on for about 3 interminable minutes. Now, a lot of people think there's like way too much singing in this movie in the first place. A few heads nodding. This time, at least, it's totally on purpose. I mean, they're trying to make it sound like home. You know, and how we don't just blame, but we go on and on. We will not let go of it. We will not do something about it. It kind of reminds you of those Israelites murmuring in the wilderness to Moses. Blame. I'm thinking about Jesus from Luke's gospel. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And then Jesus, who had all the reason in the world to blame people for him being there because it wasn't his fault, instead said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Blaming doesn't fix anything. Jesus chose this path. Jesus took what he didn't want that happened in the wilderness and chose to act through it, to give what he needed to give, not to blame who he could blame. Our fear in the wilderness can drive us to blame, but instead, let it move us towards action. Let the wilderness move us towards action. Is a perfect example of this as the baker and his wife, they've got to find these four elements to break the spell with the witch, and it's not going as well, and tensions are getting high, and let's just see this little bit.
What are you doing here?
Well, oh, so you've got the cape.
Yes, we've got the cape. Only 2 items left.
3.
2, with the cape and the cow.
You've got the cape.
What have you done with the cow?
She ran away.
What?
Never even reached home. I've been looking for her all night.
How could you?
Well, she might just as easily have run away from you.
Yeah, but she didn't.
Yeah, but she might have
but
done.
But she didn't.
But she might
but
have
she
done.
Didn't!
Chairs! Cow's gone. Get it back. Get it back.
You knew.
Who cares? Get it back. Do something. Quit murmuring. Get off your butts. Blame. No. Action. Yes. We need to do the same for others as well. We free ourselves, we free others when we don't play the blame game. We allow ourselves to act, and we also allow others to act because they are not spending all their time being defensive and trying to blame someone back themselves. And we do that by forgiving and by accepting other people. We move people into action. Galatians, bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against someone else, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. They're such trite words when you read them from the Bible, but when we think about what really goes on in our lives and where the wilderness takes us, realize, yeah, that's exactly what we need to do. We need to remember that. Just tolerate other people, realize and take ownership of our own stuff, forgive people for what they have done. They're not perfect, just like we're not perfect. The last and perhaps the greatest plea from this film about how we understand and how we react to the wilderness, and I would say it's probably maybe the biggest message from the Bible as well, is to not let the fear of our wilderness wanderings drive us into isolation, to make us isolate ourselves, to become solo operators in a difficult world. It happens very naturally in the wilderness. Think about the things that you write in that box and the wildernesses that you're in or have been in or are avoiding, whatever, and how it makes you want just afraid to be around other people, to reach out to other people, to let other people be a part of that with you. Here we have the baker who wants to fix things himself, maybe out of his own guilt, out of his own pride, but he ends up isolating himself like this.
The cape's red, the hair is yellow as corn, the slipper is pure.
What are you doing here?
You forgot your scarf.
You shouldn't be here. It's not safe in these woods.
I want to help.
No, the spell is on my house.
Our house.
Only I can lift the spell.
We
the spell
must
is
lift
on
the spell
my
together.
House.
The spell is on.
Take the cow and go home.
I was just trying to help.
Magic beans. We've no reason to believe they're magic. Are we to dispel this curse through deceit?
No one would have given him more for this creature. We did him a favor. At least I'll have some food now.
Five beans?
Do you want a child or not?
Of course I do.
We have one chance. Don't you see that? And if we fail...
I'm not sure I'm cut out to be a father.
Why would you say that?
It's because of my father.
You're not him.
I don't know.
If you can't do this for yourself, can't you at least do it for me?
Okay, fine, but will you take the cow and go home? I will find the rest of the things on my own.
Of course, he can't and he doesn't. But did you hear all the my and your language? Even the little agreement they have was on my terms and your terms being able to be equivalent, never our terms. Don't do it. Don't let the wilderness isolates you. I think of these words from the Psalms. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. God wants to give us this vision that we are not alone. You were created for community. You belong to each other and to the people around you. Be together. You know what it's like to be alone. You're probably alone in some of those hurting places of your life right now. And you know how it feels. And maybe you're there because of pride. Maybe you're there because of shame. Maybe you're there because of embarrassment. Maybe you're there because you just don't know who and don't know how. And you don't understand things enough. But don't wait. Don't wait to bring others. Turn to the people that are there for you. So often we get driven in the woods towards isolation, but instead what God wants us to do, I think what this movie is being so clear about, is to help ourselves know, to realize that you are not alone. You are never alone. No one is alone. Jesus' commandment that we love one another as he loved us is Jesus' way of telling us, I need you to be together. I mean, I need you to love others like I loved you, which was God coming out of distance and being in presence, being with us. And God says, I want you to love others the same way. It is a messy world that we live in. The woods are deep, the woods are dark, and we spend a lot of time in them. And it is us, ultimately. It is us as individuals that are going to have to make the decisions, that are going to have to act. But we need to know that we don't do that in isolation, but that we do that with each other. That we will make wrong turns, that we will make mistakes, their things will go wrong, but that is okay, and we can have each other. I think, this story of being in the woods is bleak. Much of what they brought, these characters brought into their lives and into the problem was just almost insurmountable to them. But we find, almost at the end of the movie, some of these characters, I think here we've got Jack, and we've got Cinderella, and we have the baker, and we have Little Red Riding Hood, all together figuring out how they can deal with a complicated situation where there aren't clear rights and there aren't clear wrongs, but there is a path that they can forge together. Let's watch this.
Aren't we to show forgiveness?
Mother cannot guide you. Now you're on your own. Only me beside you. Still you're not alone. No one is alone. Truly, no one is alone.
I wish. I know.
Wait until my mother hears I've slain the giant.
Jack, there's something you need to know. It's about your mother.
What?
She didn't make it.
Was she killed by the giant?
It wasn't like that. She was fighting with the giant. She was trying to protect you. She was pushed by the steward, and she fell.
The steward will pay for this.
No, Jack.
After we slay the giant, I will slay him.
You'll do nothing of the kind.
What he did was wrong. He should be punished.
It's not as easy as that.
Mother isn't here now.
Wrong things, right things.
Who knows what she'd say?
Who can say what's true?
Nothing's quite so clear now.
Do things, find things.
Feel you've lost your way.
You decide, but you are not alone.
Believe me, no one is alone.
No one is alone, believe me.
Truly,
people make mistakes. Fathers,
mothers,
people make mistakes. Holding to their own. Thinking they're alone.
Honor their mistakes.
Fight for their mistakes.
Everybody makes one another's terrible mistakes.
Witches can be right. Giants can be good.
You decide what's right. You decide what's good. Just remember.
Just remember. Someone is on your side.
Our side. Someone else is not. While we're seeing our side.
Our side.
Our side.
Maybe we forgot.
They are not alone.
No one is alone. Someone is on your side. No one is.
Go, Jack. Be careful.
Yeah.
The giant is coming. They aren't out of the woods yet. But together they know that they will get through. Let's pray. God, we're people that don't like danger. We don't really like hard work. We don't like uncertainty, and we don't like to be out of control. But a lot of our life is like that. I ask that you be with us. That you help us to understand how we can be with one another so that we can not just see the loss and feel the pain, but we might see the hope, we might see the possibility, we might see the light, and that we might realize that new things can be good things. Help us to try them on. Help us to let others try them on and become them, be them. I also ask that you continue to open our hearts and minds to see your word being spoken to us every day through a movie, through a song, maybe through a commercial. Help us to see it in the flowers and the sunsets and the faces of babies, in our quarrels with the people that we don't really like. You are with us, all places, in all the wildernesses. Thank you for loving us enough that could be true. Amen.